I want to welcome those of you who are in our Refuge worship service. You're joining us at 8:30 here in the auditorium, and we've already had a wonderful time of worship led by the Bison Glee Club, and the song that they just sang fits very perfectly with the text that we're about to read. Let me just say a word to you as you're opening to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. This week, we're going to begin a new ministry partnering with two North Carolina ladies, Wanda Martin and Dee Parsons, who operate a website entitled Wartburg Watch. And they're launching an e-church entitled E-Church at Wartburg. And they will be taking the teaching portion of the 11 o'clock service and putting it online for a nationwide electronic worship service, focusing in particularly on those who feel disenfranchised from the organized church or organized religion. We're also this Tuesday meeting with some people from differing states via Skype who wish to be a part of our church fellowship and will be launching home churches in their particular communities as a part of Emmanuel. So everything that you're doing here at Emmanuel, when you give, when you serve, when you attend church, you're affecting not only your family, your immediate family, and your local family called Emmanuel, but through you, the Lord is reaching people across the United States, and for that, we are grateful. This morning, we're going to look at just one verse of Scripture from Hebrews chapter 10. And I want you to pay attention to the words that are being used by the writer of Hebrews as we read this text and focus on what I believe to be an encouraging truth for each of us who knows Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It's verse 14 of Hebrews 10. For by one offering, he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. My grandmother Cherry is 95 years old, a delightful lady. Many of you met her when she was here a few months ago at Christmas time. But the picture I'm asking the guys to throw up on the screen of my grandmother is when she was just a teenager. These are her parents, my great-grandparents. But I want to point out the little tyke in front. His name is Basil Salyer. This photograph was taken in 1930. Basil attended this school. It was called at the time the London School. It was the largest school in East Texas. It was built by British American Petroleum in a place called New London. As the oil fields in East Texas were discovered, they needed to educate the children of the oil workers, and my great-grandfather was an oil field worker with BP, and his son, Basil, attended this school. On March the 18th, 1937, we're coming up on the 75th anniversary, this school exploded. In fact, this is an actual photograph of the aftermath of the explosion as people were running to the school. Nearly 300 children died, including my great uncle, Basil Salyer, who was 12 years old at the time. It was a natural gas explosion. Gas had built up in pockets of air underneath the school, and the school exploded when that natural gas was accidentally ignited. It was because of this tragedy, which remains to this day the largest public school tragedy in terms of loss of life in United States history. It was because of this tragedy that you have an odor today in natural gas. The United States government mandated that a smell, that an odor, be artificially implanted within natural gas so that we could tell whether or not natural gas was being pooled in our homes and in our schools and in our businesses. A young reporter came to the scene to report for UPI out of Dallas. His name was Walter Cronkite. Before his death, Walter Cronkite said, this was his first news story, it was the greatest tragedy in the history of his news reporting, and it affected him all the days of his life. I'm familiar with the New London School explosion. This is probably the first time many of you have ever even heard of it. But what I'd like to point out to you is how grateful I am that because of this tragedy and the loss of life of my great uncle, you and I are protected from having a similar thing happen in our homes because of the odor and natural gas. I wonder how many people are going through life not even thinking about what's going to happen to them for eternity because they have no sense of the danger they are in. I really believe in our modern day, we have lost all conception of what the writer of Hebrews calls in verse 31 of chapter 10, the terrifying event of falling into the hands of a living God. We live in a world that thinks that God is only accepting, only loving, only embracing of every human being. And we have lost the sense of knowing that there is coming a day when sinners will fall into the hands of the living God, and it will not be a comfortable day. In fact, again, the writer of Hebrews says, it is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of a living God. However, in verse 14 of Hebrews chapter 10, there is an incredible statement about us and our relationship with God, about those of us who come to faith in Christ and our God. And I want you to see a couple of things about this one verse. Number one, there is a sweet promise. Look at it again. For by one offering, He, that is God, has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. Now, what is the offering referred to here? The one offering. Well, obviously, it is the death of Christ. We have studied this throughout the first 10 chapters of Hebrews. When Jesus Christ died at Calvary, He fulfilled the law. Everything in the Old Testament pointed to Christ. Everything, all the offerings, all the holy days, all the sacrifices, they pointed to the Messiah. And our Savior, by His one offering of His life, God has perfected all who are sanctified. Let me show you what this means. Number one, because of my faith in Christ and because of your faith in Christ, you and I have been perfected completely. Now, what does it mean to be perfected completely? Think about this now. Perfected in what sense? Well, God is perfect, of course. And Jesus, our Messiah, said, "Be ye perfect, even as my Father, which is in heaven, is perfect." However, you and I both know we are not perfect. When we think about the thoughts that we have, when we think about the things that we have done, when we look back over our lives, nobody's got to convince us that we are not perfect. That is self-evident within us. We're not the young man that we really want to be, or the young woman. I'm not the father or the husband that I know I could be. Nobody's got to convince me that I am not perfect. I know it within. But here's the problem. Does God know that? Well, of course He does. And this is why it is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Unless you understand that by one offering, He has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. I guess what I want you to see from this text is this. Do not let religion tell you that your attempts at perfection affect God. There is no way under the sun that the more you give, the more you attend, the more you serve, the more you try, there is no way under the sun you will ever be considered perfect by God by your activity. Never. Notice the subject of this verse. For by one offering, He has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. In other words, you and I are perfected by God through the offering of Jesus Christ. Now notice, Christ has perfected me, look at the length of time here, for all time. You see, it's not that you come to faith in Christ and all of your imperfections prior to being a Christian are washed away, but now you've got to attempt to be perfect in the eyes of your Heavenly Father. No, no, no. God has, through one offering, perfected you for all time. In other words, you are deemed by God perfect through the offering of Christ. Why is that? For every imperfection you ever had was placed upon His Son, and all the righteousness of His Son was given to you. And as a result, in the eyes of God, you are perfected by the offering of Jesus Christ. But notice, not only is there a sweet promise in this text, there is a strange paradox. Notice that the Scripture says, and I'll read it again, for by one offering He has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. That's the New American Standard Version. However, the two verbs in this text are not in the past tense. The first verb is perfected. Oh, but the last verb, sanctify, is not in the past tense. It shouldn't be. It's not in the original. It's the present tense. In fact, the New International Version gets this right. Here's what the NIV says. Listen to it. He has perfected for all time those who are being made holy. Present active tense. Now, what does that mean? Well, let's see if we can't take this principle and apply it to the heart to give you some incredible encouragement this morning. What evidence do you have that God deemed you perfect and that you are accepted by Him and that all of His favor and all of His grace and all of His mercy is yours, as the prophets used to say, without measure? How are you out of the camp where you are no longer fearing falling into the hands of a living God because of your imperfections, and in the camp of resting, being at peace, having this sense of comfort of knowing that you are accepted by God because He has deemed you, He has made you perfect? How do you get from one camp to the other? Are you ready? You take a look at your life, and you ask yourself this question: am I progressing in my holiness? Now let's define holiness. Please, it is not being religious. It is not doing things for the church. The young men sang about loving God and keeping His commandments. Jesus said the same thing. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. For this is the new commandment that I give you. May I offer to you that the evidence that you have been perfected for all time by the offering of Christ is that the Spirit of God is at work in your life, causing you to progress in your love for other people. For that is the essence of genuine holiness. Here's the principle in succinct form. Hebrews locates the purging of your life, the cleansing of your life, the perfection of your life in the past. One offering, the offering of Christ. Oh, but the power of that purging is felt in the present through your enjoyment of Christ and what He's done for you and how the love of God for your soul begins to bleed out into love for others. Now, with that in mind, let me apply it in three simple ways. Number one, I would encourage you in your Christian life to place your focus on God's commitment to you and not so much on your commitment to God. Anytime you get tied up in religious activity, anytime you lose sight that true Christianity is a relationship with Jesus Christ, anytime you become more religious than you are, infatuated with your relationship with Christ, your focus is going to be on yourself. How have I fallen short? What am I not doing? What do I need to change? What's going on inside of me? Let me encourage you to remember something. You will never fully understand the power of the Spirit of God to change you until your focus is always on the past and what God has done through the one offering of His Son. He, by this one offering, has perfected me for all time. Number two, view your life through the eyes of God, but measure your growth through the eyes of others. Have you ever considered the fact that one of the reasons men and women of God can be secure in this life and not really care that much about what people think is because they are never trying to be perfect? They know themselves to be perfect in the eyes of God. Therefore, when somebody else says, "Hey, I've noticed something in your life and it's really bothering me," you receive it. Tell me about it. What's going on? What do you see in me? You don't get bent out of shape. You don't get all distorted in your personality. Somebody criticizes you for something. You receive it. Why? Because the criticism doesn't affect your eternal perfection in the eyes of God. You, by one offering, have been deemed perfect by God. So in time, when your wife says something to you, your husband says something to you, your friends say something to you, they point out a weakness or a fault, you receive it. Because you know that you're imperfect in time. And it doesn't affect your relationship with God. Your imperfections affect the people you love. And so my encouragement to you is this. If you have any motivation whatsoever to serve God based upon your view that He accepts you more if you serve Him better, you're going to destroy your life. Serve God, sing for God, give to God, love God, do what you do for God, because you enjoy the perfection He gives you through the one offering of His Son. And now talk to people around you and see where you fall short. And don't let it bother you when people mention to you things. Just receive it. Receive it. And change for the sake of others. not for the sake of God. You say, Pastor, I have never lived my Christian life like this, ever. I have always lived my Christian life based upon changing in order to affect God. I understand that. That's why I would say to you, you've never lived your Christian life according to the biblical way. You've never studied Hebrews or the Word of God and seen what Christ has done through His one offering and have rejoiced in it. He, for one, in one offering for all time, has perfected you. Oh, my word! Think about that. Not one sin will ever be brought up by God that's in your life. Not one time does He ever hold it against you. Not just your past sins, but your future sins. You are freed. You are cleansed. You are purged by the one offering of Jesus Christ. Oh, yes. But now you are active, present tense, being sanctified, being made holy. Yes, yes. But that is a process that is for the good of others, not God. You say, but doesn't God want me perfect? Yes, of course He does, but He's made you that way. He sees the righteousness of Christ in you. Oh, then, Pastor, if I believe that, I would never, ever seek to change how I treat people. I would never seek to change how I love people, how I serve people. Oh, yeah, you would. No, you would. In fact, this is the strange paradox of this verse. The evidence that you've been perfected by God is that you are presently and actively being changed by the Spirit of God. Third, in this text we see that God is never guilty of poor workmanship, and thus He never wastes time or experience. So rest in Him. Rest in Him. Oh yeah, when you see your imperfections, change, but change for the good of others. But when you see your imperfection in terms of God, look back to the one offering through which He has perfected you and rest. And I close by showing you that not only is there a sweet promise in this text and a strange paradox, but we find in this glorious text of just one verse a singular purpose. John Piper says it best, and I'll steal from him. God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him. Here's the truth. When you become satisfied in the one offering of Jesus Christ and you see what He has accomplished on your behalf and you see yourself as God sees you, you focus on the perfection that He grants you. It is the perfection of the righteousness of His Son. All of your imperfections have been purged by the blood of Jesus Christ. And by this one offering, you are perfected forever, past tense, for all time. And the evidence of it is, in time, you're being softened by the Spirit of God. You will let people point things out. The Spirit of God will point them out. But He never wastes time or opportunity. You are in the hands of a loving God. I close with a word of encouragement. Remember how we started? My great uncle died at the New London School because they could not smell the natural gas. You may be close to physically dying, and you may not see the need of the offering of Christ because you cannot smell the danger. of falling into the hands of a living God. The writer of Hebrews says it's a terrifying thing. But not for us. Not for us. For by faith, we have looked to the one offering, and for all time, we have been perfected. Therefore, nothing in this life will ever get us down in terms of our relationship with God. No struggle, no sin, no dynamic of living will ever get us down, because we are perfected by one offering for all time. And what we'll do as we relate to others is change for their sake. But we're all right in terms of our God. This is the basis of true Christianity. And may God imprint this truth on our hearts through this one verse that I pray you'll never forget. For by one offering, He has perfected for all time those who are being made holy. Let's pray together.